Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the first chapter of the book of Ruth, or Ruth, for us English speakers. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, and why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to go leave thee, nor to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, an introduction is in order to the book. The author of the book is unknown. We're not told who wrote the book of Ruth. Tradition has it that it may have been written by Samuel, and that is not impossible at all. It is quite possible that Samuel wrote the book of Ruth. It fits as far as the time frame is concerned. The book is written about a time when the judges ruled in Israel, but we believe that it is written after that time, because the last chapter mentions a particular individual that lived quite a bit after the time of the judges. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about David. It would be impossible for this to have been written before the time of David if it details his genealogy. So it is possible that Samuel wrote the book, or maybe one of the college of the prophets in the days of Solomon. That is also a possibility. But we believe it was written sometime in that contemporaneous age during the early days of the monarchy. And I do favor that Samuel is the author, but I would never be dogmatic on such things. So the date of writing then, of course, would be 10th century B.C., during the early days of David. The purpose, to foreshadow Gentile inclusion into the new covenant by bringing Gentile blood into the line of David, and hence the line of Messiah, and also to exhibit the concept of the kinsman redeemer as a type of Christ. So that's a brief introduction. We are setting forth in the book of Ruth the family line of David, the royal line of David in the tribe of Judah, and so we have his genealogy at the very end. All right, so this first chapter then, we have a man who lives in Bethlehem, Judah. He's an Ephrathite. You know what that means, children? Ephrathite. He was from Ephrathah, and Ephrathah was, again, the region where Bethlehem was. That's all that it means, that he was an Ephrathite. So he has a wife, and her name is Naomi. That name means pleasant. And they travel, because there is a famine in their land, they travel into the regions of Moab and sojourn there. And they take their two sons with them, Mahlon and Chilion. And those two men take foreign wives. Now, this is not particularly a good thing. This does not particularly speak well of the family of Elimelech. They travel out of the land of promise into a foreign land at the first hint of difficulty. And then they, of course, the Lord visits them in that land, and they die there. Again, this is not a sign of blessing for the family of Elimelech. Then Naomi decides that she is going to come home. She has heard that there's bread again back home. So she is left with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah and Ruth. And so when she turns to return home, there is obviously a very close-knit relationship between these three women. They have been, they have lived together for some time or in the same proximity. They are family members. They have a strong attachment and a strong love and a strong affection one for another, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. All that is very good. And she says, I'm going home. Both of you return to your mother's house. And then she says, may you find prosperity in the house of your husband. That is, your new husband. So go home to your mother's house, get yourselves new husbands, and live your life, have children, find prosperity in your new family situation. That is basically what Naomi tells them to do. And now we have that antithesis rise up again, don't we? Because Orpah, what does she say? All right, I'll miss you. See you later. She goes back to her mother's house, hoping to find another husband to finish out her adult life, to have children, to have a seed, because to this point they have no offspring, neither of these women. And so she turns to Ruth and she says, Ruth, you ought to be getting on home now. And Ruth says, I'm not going. And don't you tell me I'm going to, because where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die, and I'll be buried next to you. Because you are a lady of Yahweh, and I refuse to leave. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Ruth manifests that she has become a believer in Jehovah. And so if Naomi is going back home to the land of Jehovah, she's not going to be kept out. She has taken the kingdom by force, hasn't she? She's refused to let it go. All right, so what do we see in this chapter? We see, first of all, we see a family not particularly faithless going out and having maybe a sort of nominal religion, but in that nominal religion, it seems that Ruth has become very much so a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what's interesting about this is when Naomi comes back, there's a buzz in the town, and they say, "Is this Naomi?" And she says, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full." Did you really go out full, Naomi? Not really. Not really. As a matter of fact, you didn't go out very full at all. You went out looking for food. You went out turning your back on the covenant people for a foreign land. See here the ability that we have to deceive ourselves, right? Don't we have that ability? When things are going ill, don't we rather think that God has dealt so very bitterly with us and we've done nothing and we're just kind of enduring the chastisement of the Lord? And yet there's a good lesson here for Naomi at the end of the book. She's just all full again, isn't she? The Lord fills her up. So, we see here in this first portion the ability of our minds, of our thinking to be deceived, or us to deceive ourselves because things haven't gone the way we thought. But keep also in mind that the Lord has a purpose for you and for me, and that in every trial that He brings, He does so for His own glory and for our good. And the return of Naomi, and she thinks that she's returning so very empty. Actually, she left empty, and she's returning full. She has a daughter that loves the Lord, a daughter-in-law that loves the Lord and has attached herself to her. And at the end of the story, we know the end, we've read it, that this daughter will be a source of unending blessing for her. Thus ends the reading, then, of the book of Ruth. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.